That's beautiful. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. Let us return to the one who is full of compassion. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and the power of God, your sins are forgiven and God remembers them no more. Journey in the way of Jesus. Let us sing together our gathering hymn, There is a Balm in Gilead. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Thank you. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us hear our first reading from Numbers.
The first reading comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed to the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe,
gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some were fools and took rebellious paths. Through their sins, they were afflicted.
They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door.
Then in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people.
Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy. Let us hear our second reading.
The second reading is found in the second chapter of Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are ours in the name of our God who offers us new life. The words of John 3:16 are powerful, not least of all because as they appear by themselves, this verse is among one of the most well-known in the New Testament, even for people who are not biblically literate. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. You don't have to be a churchy person to have these words on your tongue. You know them because they're worn on baseball caps. They show up at baseball games, football games, players sporting them. They're even pasted on car bumper stickers. But do the majority of people who read and hear these words taken just by themselves out of their overall context really understand what the verse means? Do they hear it as a gift? Taken out of context, it sounds like a formula for entry into afterlife. Do this and you get that. Taken out of context, it can be offensive even to people who are outside of the church and may hear these words as exclusive. It's worth the while to understand the context in which the words are spoken. They're part of the larger philosophical exchange that invites us into a world of mystery, a world that's not just literal black and white words. The words are far more meaningful than a simple transactional formula to gain a ticket to heaven. If we leave it at that, we shortchange the deeper understanding, which is a gift. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and one very well versed in scripture, has come to praise Jesus. He comes undercover by night, not to be seen, in order to converse about the nature of conversion. Nicodemus listens and observes the signs that Jesus has shared, but he's still unsure of what it means to be born anew. He's stuck in one mode of understanding, he's closed off from being able to allow a message to enter into his heart that's more mysterious. And yet he knows that somehow there is a gift in Jesus's message. It's a gift of healing. It's a gift of new life. But how to understand this? So in response, just as Moses lifted up a bronze serpent to the complaining and snake-bitten Hebrews for healing and deliverance, Jesus now, in our gospel reading, appears as a living sign of eternal life. He offers new life, but it is new life in a mysterious way that Nicodemus, as brilliant as he is, will have trouble understanding. It's a gift of freedom with no strings attached. It's meant to heal from suffering. But when we take it out of context, it sounds like some secret club membership criteria. If you don't follow the membership rules, no free gift for you, which means it's not free. Nicodemus wants to fit Jesus and Jesus's message into some program that he already might understand. He's frustrated because he doesn't understand what on earth Jesus is talking about. Why can't Jesus just stick with the age-old written criteria of tradition? These are the rules. Why this deeper understanding that involves a lifelong process of growth rather than one simple graduation, as long as you have lived by the criteria? And once you prove that you have learned the criteria and have lived by it, you pass over, you pass through the initiation, and you're done. To be born anew, Jesus says, is a process. It's not something that takes place at 3:16 p.m. on Saturday any more than it's confined to one verse. Jesus says true new birth is a long acquaintance, perhaps a lifelong acquaintance, with what is real. It involves facing our own denial and acceptance of who we are and how we relate to the world around us. There is no shortcut known as I've seen the light or I do good works, although we hear this said all the time. But that's not a shortcut for skipping the reality that there is darkness in our world. It's no shortcut for skipping the reality that we have a relationship with darkness, which is why it's mentioned and acknowledged in the gospel. Over the years, I have heard confessions, especially on a person's deathbed, that are heartbreaking. They break my heart because it took until the time of impending death for that person to have their come to Jesus moment, their moment of understanding, which is a moment where they stop pretending and putting on an act for the world. They stop negotiating with the world and God and even themselves. And there is a peace in that. That time of conversation, as the person speaks and shares with me and I listen, for me is a sacred place of trust. It's an honor. It's also a sacred place as that individual truly hears how much God loves the world and God loves them. In that space, they're ready to hear and receive God's promise of mercy and love, even when we were dead in sin. God's promise that God has made us alive together with Christ, that by grace, not by our own good works, we have been saved and we are forgiven. We hear these similar words from our epistle this morning, and we will hear similar words in just a few short weeks on Maundy Thursday, as we will conclude the season of Lent and prepare for the resurrection. They are words that are received, truly received, as we conclude our life, our life on earth, and prepare for the hereafter. These words of profound love are received in our come to Jesus moment. But why is it that we have to wait so long to understand the gift of a lifelong progression of increasingly deep love through Christ? Why do we want to skip through the process in the first place? And I have to ask, why do brides forbid me at their weddings to talk about the reality of death, the promise of eternal life, and the invitation to learn to love as God loves us? Why are flowers and gowns an expression of love in our world more than hearing how God so loves the world and us, how God so loves the world that he gives us this free gift, how God so loves the world that God promises life with God forever. But I digress. Jesus is telling Nicodemus to trust in the full immersion of a new way of thinking, seeing, and being. But Jesus says Jesus can't do it for Nicodemus. Nicodemus has to have the courage and the strength himself to grow. Jesus is telling this brilliant religious scholar that what to do with and about Jesus's life work is a journey. It's a lifelong journey into the eternal. It's not about jumping through one singular hoop and you're done. Most of you know I come from the world of advertising, where we're taught to whittle down the message to one easy to remember slogan. But John 3:16 is so much more than a sales pitch for conversion to the light, where we get to say we're saved and we will live with Jesus forever. Jesus isn't about sales pitches. Jesus is about inviting us into the world of reality, even when that means butting up with a dark place. He's inviting us into deep mindfulness of self and those around us. He's inviting us to engage with the reality of our current and present situation. Jesus invites us into a journey of more soul, more light, more profound acknowledgement of where we are and are not yet. All we need to do is accept the invitation. The good news is the journey on which Jesus invites us leads us to deeper self-awareness, greater understanding of our deepest fears during life on earth, and a loving and imperishable future in the life of God forever. Amen.